Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, race fans, give me 2 seconds here. For some reason, I lost my live feed in the studio. So, see what happens when I go to bring it back up. Sincerely apologize for this. Looks like we're back up live. I'm not quite sure what happened there. Apparently Facebook Live didn't like something I was doing as far as my background music. So lesson learned for future days. Anyways, hi. Welcome back to Speedway Anywhere. We're shifting gear to the new year on Speedway Anywhere. We're going two wide, side by side, live on the Speedway. blogtalkradio.com/SpeedwayAnywhere. You can also join us in studio on Facebook Live, facebooklive.com/SpeedwayAnywhere. Also, my own personal page, if you have it. We're live every Monday and Thursday, 7 p.m. Central Time. And on special occasions such as, well, you know, biggest day of the year, the Charlotte 600 preceded by the Indy 500. You can always join the chat on Facebook Live or call in to the studio line at 917-889-2053. I'm your crew chief Q, and Captain Kurt will be joining us in just a little while. You're welcome to join the conversation as well through the chat or through the studio line. Again, 917-889-2053. So what did everyone think of Speed Weeks? That was one interesting debacle. If you ask me, it all started out with two guys at the cup level that went winless in 2018, became winners right out the gate in 2019. I'm speaking, of course, of Denny Hamlin and seven-time champion Jimmy Johnson. So Speed Weeks is wrapped up at Daytona. 2019 is underway. A lot of feel-good stories depending on who you ask. As far as Denny Hamlin went winless in 2018, first time in his career. Well, his Cup career. And then he obviously won Daytona 500. And then Jimmy Johnson, he was winless since, I believe it was, June 2017, and that was when he won at Dover. So even though, yes, he didn't win a points fan race, he still won. He won the clash race on the Sunday right after qualifying. So both have had at least one victory in every year since they began their Cup Series careers. Not quite sure about their earlier years in the Xfinity / Busch Grand National Series. Have to do my homework a little bit more as far as all that goes. This was quite the feel-good story for the Gibbs team after the recent loss of J.D. Gibbs. J.D. Gibbs was the one that tapped Denny Hamlin to become the driver of the number 11. That number 11 was struggling bad. It was the third team to Tony Stewart and Bobby Labonte at the time, I believe. And the 11 wasn't doing anything. They put Denny Hamlin in the car, and it took 5, 6, 7 races, and Denny put that one in victory lane. The story behind Jimmy Johnson in the off season, he switched crew chiefs. He had been with Chad Knaus after 17 years. I think that's correct. Sorry, I'm juggling here, looking at notes. I am really disorganized here. I got woke up by a phone call to tell me, why aren't you on air? I'm like, why aren't you on air? I'm on air. I'm listening. So, let me cut to bumper music here while I organize my notes. I'm not quite sure why Facebook is not doing what it's supposed to as far as the live feed. Be back in 1:28. All right, I'm still here. My my glasses are still broken, and I'm still gonna somehow or another make it through the night. So back to where we were at. This was quite the feel-good story for the Gibbs team after the loss of J.D. Gibbs. J.D. Gibbs passed away leading up to Speed Weeks at Daytona in the opening of the 2019. J.D. tapped Hamlin to become the driver of the struggling number 11 team. J.D., the son of Joe Gibbs, passed away at the age of 49 after a battle with health issues recently. And so it's somewhat, what do you want to say, poetic, that the Gibbs team got the win to start out the year. Let me skim it way at the notes here. Yes, and then Jimmy Johnson, who won the clash race, ended up winning the what was really the first cup race, even though it's a non-points paying race. Jimmy Johnson, his crew chief, went over to William Byron, and crew chief Kevin Meandering from the Xfinity series jumped in and took over with the number 48 team at Hendrick. Some might say that the wrecks were the most exciting part of Daytona. Some might say it was the spectacle of kicking off the season, the big event, the Daytona 500. I say it's the fact that the restrictor plate is gone. No more. This was the final time that you're going to see the exact style of racing in the Cup Series, Busch Series, Truck Series, etc. I think it's been in place since around 1988. If anyone's got info on that, go ahead and tell me I'm wrong. I always love that when people do that. I hate it when I can see myself on the screen. So I'm going to do this. And now I can see. Now I can see the chat boxes over on the right side. I got it right, Mommy. I got it right. So this is the final race that the restrictor plate will be used. Will it change the racing? I hope so. I'm kind of tired of watching them all grouped up, and when a wreck happens, half the field is gone. When the beginning of the race starts, no one's moving, no one's going anywhere, because it takes three laps for the cars to get up to speed because they got to draft the hell out of each other. So, yeah, that's right. No more plates. Daytona was the last of the restrictor at both Daytona and Talladega. They're going to switch to increased drag, larger rear spoiler. It's going to look weird. That rear spoiler is going to stand up approximately, I believe it's 8 inches. Yes, it's going to create a hell of a tail therefore putting a lot more drag on the cars. The cars will perform, depending upon what track. I mean, Bristol, no difference. Talladega and Daytona, oh, huge difference. So, but the proof is going to be shown beginning at Talladega on April 29th, matter of fact. Hopefully this will eliminate the freight train packs of racing that we've grown so used to for decades. So, looks like we have a handful of people that have chimed in. Trying to, trying to get a head count here. So, at the end of it all, in the cup race, the actual Daytona 500, it was the four Hendrick cars, they led the field in qualifying. William Byron and Alex Bowman, inside and outside, and then followed by Jimmy Johnson, Chase Elliott, who qualified third and fourth. So the four Hendrick drivers led qualifying, but it was the Gibbs cars, three of the four Gibbs cars, who came in and led the getting a note here. It was the three Gibbs cars of Denny Hamlin, where he broke his winless streak, and then Eric Jones and Kyle Busch finishing 1, 2, 3. None of the top cars were part of the Hendrick camp. So as mentioned, Denny Hamlin broke his winless streak, taking the Harley J. Earl Trophy last Sunday in victory lane at Daytona, followed by Gibbs teammates Kyle Busch and Eric Jones. New teammate Martin Truex, everyone's got their eyes on him, as well as myself. I'm curious to see what's going to go on. If they're going to go through groin pains, or if Martin Truex Jr. is going to continue the success that he's grown to know since, 2017? He was a champion. Remember that? So, but yeah, he ended up all the way back in a distant, let's see, I got the number here, 35th after all the massive wrecks. So the top five survivors of attrition known as restrictor plate racing were Denny Hamlin in first, Kyle Busch in second, Eric Jones third. Fourth was 2018 champ Joey Logano, and fifth, Michael McDowell. I got to give an honorable mention to a guy I have had my eyes on probably about halfway through the 2017 season, I'm going to say, and that's Matt DiBenedetto. Matt got up, led some laps. He did rather well, but never got the job done. I always said that if he could get into a competitive ride, he's going to perform well. He led some laps at Daytona this year. He took over the number 95 that was driven by Kasey Kahne till Kasey Kahne had to retire last year. Unfortunately, due to health issues, he was having problems. The gist of it that I got was that he couldn't endure the heat and the long races and all. He's now running some sprint races, you know, in the World of Outlaw style cars and whatnot, and he's happy doing what he's doing now. So, but anyways, that's the car that Matt DiBenedetto has taken over. Sure, this is only Daytona, so the proof is going to start to come next week when we go to Atlanta and or what I call real racing. None of this restricted play BS. And so we'll see how Matt performed. I don't think he's up for a championship this year. I don't think he's up for even a top five in points. I wouldn't put it past him to finish in the to get through the first round of 16 drivers and move into the next round of 12, maybe into the next round of 8. We'll see. But I think he's in much better equipment, and I think he's got a shot at it. I really do. But hey, it's only Daytona, and we know Austin Dillon last year won Daytona. Big deal. Where did he come out? I think he was probably 21st in points. He wouldn't have advanced into that top 16 had it not been for the win at Daytona. He just was not there. I gotta check Blog Talk real quick. I'm toggling screens. It kind of happens that way. I'm gonna go back to background music for just a second, and I will pick up where I left off as soon as I come back. right. Unfortunately, due to reasons beyond my own control, I wasn't able to see both the Xfinity Series and the Truck Series races this weekend. But some cohorts of mine did, and they brought up a lot of opinions and facts about those races the public seems to be convinced about as well. The first one being the Truck Series finished with nine drivers on the track. Now, I know that the spectacular wrecks, as they've become well known for at Dega and Daytona, do have, you know, the mass amounts of attrition. But hopefully this new engine package, drag package, get rid of the restrictor plate. I'm not a fan of draft pack racing. I'm not. It takes the driver out of the equation. It makes the driver have to rely more on the cars around him. It tends to make it nothing to do with the driver's him, herself. Take for instance, if you blow a tire and you gotta, don't you love my broken glasses? You gotta ride down pit road. You lose a lap or two. You don't have a drafting partner to get back on the track. It's not like that at Bristol. All right. Bristol, you don't need another driver to be on your front or rear bumper to get you going again.